All right, welcome everyone to the pod. Today we got a very, very special guest. We got Fadila Casa of Omna Tigray. Fadila, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I guess we'll hop right into this. So before we get to what the conflict is, because I, average American, not really 100% sure about, what else is going on in the world. Before we go into, could you tell me the audience, how you got involved with Omna Tigray, why you felt the need to do something? And get involved.
Yeah, the war started on November 4th, and I was definitely triggered by the way that the war started out, because the first thing that happened is a complete telecommunications blackout of the region where my family stays at, which is Tigray. The entire area was completely cut off. We couldn't speak to our families, and that was terrifying. But things really became especially real for me when I got word that my cousin was killed. He was defending a hospital from being looted, and a Eritrean soldier shot and killed him 6 times. They operated on him for hours. Couldn't bring him back to life. So that's when things really got real for me. I was active in my community somewhat, but at that point it really became personal for me, like it did for a lot of other people when they heard. And I just knew I had to step it up, because I didn't want anybody else to experience the loss and pain that my family had experienced. And this was back in November 2019, right? So since then I've just been working with my local community, working with the national community, been protesting all over America. Omna is an amazing organization. It's a nonprofit that just focuses on, educational awareness. So that's been our biggest issue, is it's an information war, like you said, and like many other Americans, nobody really knows what's going on. So what I really love about Omna is they're really taking the time to just try to educate as many people as possible about the situation. And that is what drew me to them, and why I decided to help them out as a nonprofit.
And before I go on, I do want to say my condolences on the loss of your cousin, obviously. So you obviously have a deep personal connection, and you did feel the need to get involved. For viewers in America, and like I mentioned before, and I said this a bunch of times, a lot of times Americans aren't really sure about what's going on in the world around them. I'm definitely one of those guys. I can't tell you that I know a lot about the conflict. So could you explain what the conflict is, what's going on? Could it be classified as genocide?
Yeah, I can definitely give a summary of the situation. Like I said, it started on November 4th. During the same date of America's presidential election. So the whole world is distracted by who is going to be the next president. And while that's happening, the prime minister of Ethiopia, Abiy Ahmed Ali, decided to put a complete communications blackout on the region of Tigray and start sending troops into the region. So Tigray is the northernmost region of Ethiopia. They are on the border of Eritrea as well. So we've got Eritrea on the north and the rest of Ethiopia to the south of us, and Sudan to the east, right? When the war broke out, the prime minister, he launched a variety of different ways to try to annihilate the Tigray people, right? The intent behind it was out of pure hatred for us. We started to see, even before the war, there was rhetoric of hate speech about Tigrayan people. They were calling us hyenas and cancers, and saying they were going to eradicate Tigrayans for the next 100 years. And this is government officials who are, publicly speaking on their hate for them. So it's very, very reminiscent of, the Holocaust, where you had years and years of all of this hate speech building up to this moment where, although this war was completely premeditated, Ethiopia and Eritrea worked together for a very long time to kind of create this alliance against the Tigrayan people. And when the Tigrayan people decided to hold their regional elections, the Ethiopian government saw that as an excuse to go in and completely destroy the entire people. We've got not 7 million people that are in Tigray right now, and 6.2 million of them are starving. The biggest thing we're struggling with, like I said, is we don't have access to the people. He put a complete blockout on the region. He's been drone bombing them for over nearly 600 days now. No access. We can't get food in. We can't get medicine in. And they've completely destroyed all of the crops, all of the agriculture. So the people are starving. They've been starving for a very, very long time now. So they're using multiple methods to kind of annihilate the people. And the rhetoric that they're using points out that it's out of pure hatred for the people. Rape has been a biggest weapon of this war. We've had soldiers who are on record attesting to the rape of other women, saying that, it's not you that's the problem, it's your womb. We need to, destroy your womb so you can no longer bear any Tigrayan children. So it is definitely ethnic cleansing and textbook genocide. When you have 6.2 million of people, which is over 91% of the population, starving to death for over, nearly 600 days now, and they have shown that their intent is to annihilate these people based off of their ethnicity. There's no way that you can deny that as anything but genocide.
Right. And, you know, I do have another question. My question here is, this is the first time I'm really hearing all about this, like, to this extent. You know, we hear about the war in Ukraine, rightly so. We hear about, you know, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We hear about the Uyghurs in China. Why do you think we're not hearing about this? And why is this the first time, you know, me as an average American, why is this the first time I'm hearing about this
conflict? No, that's actually a very good question. We have seen this with, you know, a lot of different cases. There are definitely some issues that have got a lot more attention than others. But, you know, the one that's gotten the most attention is obviously the Russian-Ukrainian conflict and war. And as you know, it's awful what's going on there. Nobody can deny that, and my heart goes out to those people. Nobody should ever experience a tragedy such as that. And we do understand that the implications of that war escalating does have a global impact on everybody in the world, with Russia having nukes. So there is a real threat there, but it is a threat. Whereas when we look at Tigray, it's not a threat. It's actually happening. It's real, and it's happening right now to very real people. And the reason why I would say that it is, and it's not just me saying this, even the president of the World Health Organization himself went on record saying there's all of these conflicts going on in the world and not a fraction of the attention that's going to Ukraine is going to them. And he cited racism as being the reason for that. You know, a lot of people, after the Ukrainian war broke out, we saw a lot of media going on record, journalists saying, you know, like, this doesn't happen in Europe. We're, you know, we're white people with blue eyes and blonde hair. Like, you don't see this happening here. So for them, it became they were unable to comprehend why that would be happening in a European country. But when they look at, you know, the Middle East and Africa, they think that war is normal to us and that we should be experiencing these things and it's not anything out of the ordinary. Whereas there's absolutely nothing normal about babies starving to death because the government refuses to feed them. This isn't a famine that's happening because of locusts or drought or anything like that. It's completely man-made. People are blocking food from going to starving populations, and governments have control over these people. This isn't some rogue militia that's just, you know, taken over and did a coup. This is the same government that the president of America gets on the, you know, phone calls with on a regular basis and speaks with. They have power over this country. They're a very poor country that rely heavily on foreign aid.
Right.
But unfortunately, we're not seeing any of the government or any media outlets applying pressure on the Ethiopian government to de-escalate. And it's really unfortunate. I really feel like racism is at the root of that cause.
Right. And the United States isn't doing anything to help. I know you had like initiative to reach out to President Biden. Has that made any headway?
They do have, the government has put out statements, and there are two bills right now. There's a House bill and a Senate bill that is being worked on. And hopefully with enough support, that would be able to put an end to the war at least, and then start an investigation into the war crimes that are being committed, and, you know, urge peace and democracy, trying to restore some stability to all of Ethiopia. We haven't seen a lot of movement with this bill, or a lot of support, or a lot of like public from our senators. We haven't seen a lot of that. I know we've been you know, doing our best to try to meet with them and educate them about it to get it, to garner some support for it, but it wasn't like, you know, the Russian Ukrainian bill that got passed in a heartbeat with a grand slam vote. So
right.
No, things are being done. It's just not equivalent to the need is the issue. We've gotten a lot of, you know, our hearts are with you and we sympathize with you, and, you know, we urge everybody to de-escalate. But unfortunately, you know, the Ethiopian government has not shown any signs to de-escalate. I think over a year ago, the American government said that if they don't de-escalate, if the Ethiopian government doesn't de-escalate, that they were going to impose sanctions on them. Since then, hundreds of thousands of people have died, more millions of lives that have been at risk, hundreds of thousands of women have been raped, and nothing has changed. More bombs, more chemical attacks, more warfare, and still no actions. We've gotten a lot of words, no action, and that's where we're at right now. We're at 600 days of inaction, and we're really hoping that that's going to change.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping something changes soon. Obviously, something needs to happen. So I wanted to backtrack on a point you made before, where we're kind of desensitized to violence in, you know, the Middle East and Africa. So we really don't give it a second thought. But the minute, you know, there's, you know, bombs dropping in Europe, where, you know, we lose our minds, and rightly so, obviously. But it's just an interesting point that you make up, you bring up. I did want to bring up another question. So I noticed you're Tigrayan, you're wearing a hijab. You know, the most of Ethiopians are, I believe, you know, some form Orthodox. Of denomination of Christianity. Yeah, Orthodox. Is that a root cause of the conflict? You know,
there's no religious basis to this at all. No, you know, Ethiopia And specifically, Tigray is a place where, you know, Muslims and Christians do, like, on a local level, do, you know, coincide and live together very peacefully. It's not, there's no religious basis to this whatsoever. The Ethiopian government is trying to use religion as a way to get, instill the sense of tribalism. So we're starting to see, like, you know, priests, Ethiopian priests and, you know, Muslim priests as well, or, you know, sheikhs, as we call them, use their religion to instigate hate, but they're using the religion to instigate hate between tribes. So it's not like a Muslim versus Christian thing, but there are, you know, very bad religious people who are using the religion to try to turn their following against Tigray. So the root cause of all of this is the fact that Eritreans and Ethiopians specifically, and not all of them, but, you know, a good amount, definitely have a lot of animosity and hate towards the Tigray people. And that's gone on for a very long time now, and they're now found a way to let that out against the people. So we've got, and I think the biggest thing to know, and I don't think I've mentioned this yet, is that Eritrea is heavily involved in this war. It's not just the Ethiopian government, the Eritrean government as well has sent troops into Tigray, and as well as the Amhara militia, and just like the Fondo. So we've got four different militaries now working against the Tigrayan people. And, you know, when you've got one country colluding with another country, you're starting to see that it is just all based off of ethnic hate. We're at a point now where it's been, you know, nearly 600 days now of this happening. And when things like this happen all over the world, like you said, it doesn't get a lot of attention. But what I want to say is different than any other situation that's going on in the world, and I don't want to minimize the suffering of any human being, is that this is the only place in the world right now where we do not have access to starving people. Even in Yemen, where there's 20 million people starving, the World Health Organization can still drop food to those people. They cannot get food into Tigray, no matter how. They're blocking the roads, actively blocking access to the people. You can't airdrop it in, you can't get trucks in. That is the only place in the world where that is happening right now. So as much as I sympathize with Ukraine and Syria and Yemen, and I'm somebody who has spoken up for them long before I was speaking up on behalf of Tigray, this is very different than anything else I have ever seen. And I'm not just saying that because I'm from Tigray. This really is genuinely the deadliest humanitarian crisis that's happening right now.
So the Ethiopian government is purposely blocking off food supplies and everything like that, so nothing can get to people.
Nothing can get in.
So what is the
medicine? Idar Hospital is the one of the biggest national hospitals in, and just last week they had to shut down.
Oh man.
They're shut down. They don't have no supplies. Before that, they were like rewashing gloves and trying to keep things sterile. They ran out of, you know, like insulin. They've just run out of everything, and they were like hanging on to scraps, and they've gotten to the point where there's just nothing left. They had to turn patients away and just completely shut down the hospital.
Has the UN stepped in or anything like that? Have they like voted on any resolutions?
Hopes and prayers.
Oh man, that is mind-boggling. So I just want to get like a little bit of the history of like Tigray. Has there been like a history of conflict, or is this kind of like the first time something like this has happened?
Wars in Tigray before. So, you know, obviously because of colonialism, there was like, you know, wars that happened against Italy and stuff like that. And then after that, there were the Ethiopia was at war with Eritrea for some time. And like I've mentioned before, Tigray is at the border. So a lot of the people that were fighting in Eritrea happened to be from Tigray, which is where a lot of this animosity comes from. There was a border dispute over a piece of land called Badame. And that was a very long war that happened for I think it was like 20 or 30 years. And a lot of the people in the diaspora now are refugees from that war. That just happened. That war ended in 1998. So it wasn't too long ago. And a lot of the people who, you know, lost family members in that war do hold a lot of animosity on both sides, right? But the issue is now is like you've got people that are, you've got humans that have absolutely nothing to do with any conflict in the past, who are being stuck in the middle of a conflict that have absolutely nothing to do with them. And what triggers me about this is, despite the, you know, the history, I'm so sorry, Jeremy, on 1%.
Oh man.
Sorry, I didn't even swear. I'm on 1%. I think my phone might die. I'm so sorry. But I'll just keep going. You know, like despite any previous conflict that has happened, this is a situation now where they're attacking innocent civilians. If the military wanted to go fight in the mountains, you know, that would be their prerogative, but they're bringing civilians into this, innocent babies that have nothing to do with any previous conflict or anything that's going on right now. But yes, you are right. There is a history of conflict there. And that does play a piece in what's happening, because it has instigated the system of hate that Tigray are now experiencing.
Okay, I do have one more question, given that your phone might die. How can we help?
Omnitigre has a resource list on their Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, on their bios. If you go to there, there'll be a drop down of all of these different organizations to support, places to donate money. You know, what we really need is people to speak on this. So going on to Twitter, we have Twitter campaigns with pre-written tweets that you guys can just click, retweet. And you know.
Oh man, I guess we lost her. But yeah, that was the interview with Fadila Casa. She is working at Omnitigre, organization doing great things. Yeah, I mean, this conflict is absolutely horrible, and the fact that it's gaining, you know, no traction in coverage in the media is pretty unfortunate. You know, like I mentioned before, we're getting a little desensitized to, you know, wars happening in, you know, the Middle East and Africa. You know, us Americans really don't think much of it. But yeah, I mean, there's multiple ways to help. You know, you can give money, donate, and so on and so forth. So fortunately, we lost her. Hopefully, we could get her on another day. But yeah, thanks everyone for watching.